Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for this Sunday Haven.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi everyone, welcome to our grove here at the Atomic Hearth.
As always, we are so grateful for this community and for all of you choosing to spend a portion of your Sunday here with us.
We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are currently here on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, more specifically the Duwamish and Muckleshoot tribes. We want to take a moment here to honor the ancestors of the land on which we reside. Thank you.
Good moon, witches. Let's talk seasons, lunar tides, and celestial happenings. This haven is all about the sun and solar cycles, so I want to talk a bit about how I incorporate this layer into my practice. Per usual, the two most common cycles that come into play are moon and seasonal cycles, and I talk about those pretty regularly. But what about daily solar cycles, the easiest to access of them all? When it comes to this process, I like to consider the other two bigger cycles in play. In the southern hemisphere, the yearly seasonal tide is shifting towards the cooler days of the winter solstice. It's a time of release as darkness sets in. The lunar cycle is currently headed into a new moon, a double up of that release and rest energy, which means to match that energy with a daily solar tide, I might look at the times just after sunset, when the deep blue hues take over the sky and remnants of cotton candy highlights the clouds. It's a good time to journal, to create a safe space, and let things go. In the northern hemisphere, we again have that new moon energy, but this time it's set against the backdrop of a growing seasonal energy tide. Still in spring, but not quite to the summer solstice. With this in mind, I might look at how to embody that new moon energy during the day, taking time in the late morning to rest and rejuvenate. I think about the power of a good midday brunch or meditation, a reading session, or even a good late morning shower. Lunar tides be with you.
Welcome back, and welcome to At the Hearth.
You'll notice that it's just Alyssa and I today, as Jay is visiting family, and while we are talking solar energies, it just so happens that the sun is hiding behind some thick clouds this morning here in the Pacific Northwest.
Truly a classic Seattle morning. But today we are talking all about the basics of incorporating solar or sun magic into a sapling path. Everything from different solar cycles and the impacts of solar flares and weather to how to ride the solar tides in your daily magical workings. Solar magics are found during the sapling turn as ways to explore the element of fire.
As we've mentioned, sapling represents the first year or turn through the witch's wheel, the beginning of a path to witchcraft, a bit of a framework. Here, focus is on essential interactions with and awareness of each element, as well as how the self hones that focus. Before exploring any particular path or preference more deeply, sapling offers a holistic foundation that creates balance and well-rounded confidence by encouraging exploration of each of the elements. In the fire element of sapling, we look at color and light magics, candles, and solar. As well, sapling represents the first turn through the wheel. These topics begin a journey of interactions with, awareness of, and appreciation for the element of fire, and how unique its role can be in witchcraft overall. So now, when we talk about the fire element in magic, especially at the sapling level, we first must always look to ways that fire shows up in nature, from how we see color to lightning and, of course, the power of the sun. And while color may sound surprising as a natural representation of the fire element, a reminder that our perception of color is based on sunlight, such as when light is refracted into a prism or a rainbow. If you do incorporate color magic, I highly encourage heading over to two earlier episodes that really dig into that tool. Episode number 20 and its companion meditation are really key in finding the best way to make color impactful in your workings. Along with sun and color magic, candle magic is another way to tap into the fire element, and often seen as a way to carry the symbolism of sunlight through the dark time. This might show up as lighting a candle from sunset to sunrise, or starting at the winter solstice through candle nights and even the new year. Each person might relate and incorporate the two separately, but in cases where the weather or even seasonal darkness gets in the way of incorporating that solar element, a bit of candle magic is a great representative. But today we're focusing on the power of solar workings. And if lightning magic sounds interesting, stay tuned. That shows up in more advanced wheel turns related to weather magic due to its atomic and explosive nature. For now, let's turn our proverbial sights to the sun, and just a hot reminder to never look directly at the sun, one of many important safety things to keep in mind when working with this element.
Oh my gosh, yes, please never look directly at the sun, even if you have sunglasses on. They do not do much. But it is actually really important that when we are working with the sun and solar energy to be quite pragmatic and considering our safety when doing so. After all, even as witches, we are not invincible. While you are outside working in the sun, it's important to protect your body from potentially harmful rays. Apply sunscreen liberally and frequently. Yes, even if there's still some cloud cover. Wear light layers to protect the majority of your body, and wear a hat and or sunglasses to protect your eyes. I know I'm that kind of person that tends to wear both because I've got very sensitive eyes when it comes to the sun. And if you're outside in the sun or heat for a long time, you've got to hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. No amount of magic or energy work can combat heat exhaustion. But it's also really important to protect your home as well. Popular tools like crystal balls or other glass-based items can intensify sunlight into a point and can set your home on fire when left unattended. It's really important that these items be kept properly covered or stored when they're not in use. It's also really, really important, of course, to be mindful when working with these types of glass tools out in nature on a sunny day. Much like a crystal ball can start a fire in your home, it can do so to plant matter as well. And this applies for any reflective nature, like any reflective tool that is crystal, glass, mirrors, etc. These things can just spark a blaze really quickly. And fire can spread very fast. Even if you think you get that initial blaze out, sparks can remain and reignite really easily. Remember what our big bear friend always says, only you can prevent forest fires.
While we are talking sun pragmatism and practicals, I also want to take a moment to address the false dichotomy and unnecessary gendering of our celestial bodies. While I do understand that the sun, moon, father, mother, god, goddess concept is key in many pagan traditions, I do think it's really important to separate that out as an optional inclusion in your practice. The sun is always present. It's not an on-off switch. It's a spectrum. These energies do not need to exist as an either-or as a male-female representation. Our sun, star, and our moon are on their own journey in a galactic orbit, an intricate balance and spectrum of celestial energies.
Yes, speaking of dichotomies, oftentimes we see the sun and the moon juxtapositioned as opposites of each other, but they actually have a lot of similarities. First and foremost, perhaps most obvious, is that sunlight and moonlight are the same light, just in different forms. The sun is the direct source of it, and the moon is the reflected version. There are differences in power here, of course, in that the sun energy tends to be more dispersed and bigger, and the moon energy, because of its reflected nature, is very focused and can impact energy more intensely, especially at peak times like waxing and full moon cycles. Some key differences, besides the fact that the sun is a living star and the moon is a reflective rocky satellite, lies in the energies. For me, I find solar energy to be rich and fiery. It radiates warmth and life, whereas I find that lunar energy has a cooler, watery, softer energy. The moon's influence on ocean tides and the sun's influence on our electromagnetic fields speaks to their unique energies. The push and pull effect on the earth and tides affects us. And just because they have different energies doesn't mean that we need to assign roles to them or that they exist on a dichotomy. It's just totally unnecessary. Remember, for a new moon to happen, the moon and sun are visible at the same time, totally in cahoots. You can still honor these magnificent celestial bodies in other ways. Now, it's important to note that where you are on our little planet makes a big difference in how you will experience solar energies. Now, if we're talking about the sun on like a broader scale, then of course the sun is always there in our solar system. So energy-wise, you more or less can always connect with it in some ways. But the intensity of that energy, how easily you can connect to it, how it waxes and wanes throughout the year will be totally dependent on where you live. If you live somewhere in the world closer to our equator, then you're going to experience more consistent sunlight and sun energy. Since there isn't a lot of seasonal variance, you can pretty reliably have access to the sun and sunlight for close to 12 hours a day, every day. Additionally, because of the way that the Earth is shaped, sunlight is experienced much more intensely along the equator, so that energy can be way more intense as well. The closer you live to the poles, the more extreme swings you'll have. You could have days where the sun only makes an appearance for a couple of hours, and then on the complete other side of the year have nothing but sunlight. Even living in the Pacific Northwest, the amount that I feel connected to the sun and that energy when we only have 7 hours of light in the winter versus 15 in the summer is wildly dramatic.
Yeah, the amount of light we get is very much dependent on where we live. And as a person who grew up in Arizona, lived in Southern California, and now lives in the Pacific Northwest, let me tell you, that has made such a big impact on how I use solar magic in my practice. Living in Arizona and Southern California, I actually think I took that energy a bit for granted. And now living up in the Pacific Northwest, there's times of the season where I am just really aching for not only that vitamin D and just sunlight because I'm a human that wilts under too much rain, but just also how to incorporate having that energy to incorporate into my practice. But, you know, just like the moon, the sun has cycles of more or less light emitting directly onto our location. And while this change in sunlight impacts the full scope of tapping into solar energies, the sun has so many ways that impacts us cyclically that there are lots of ways to incorporate it in a solar practice or path. And key here is that we consistently see the same cycle at play. Much like the moon, the rise, the pinnacle, the release, and the replenish, you know, high tide, low tide, and the shift in between. Full moon, waning moon, new moon, waxing moon, and so on. Working with solar seasons is actually a macro and micro scale of lunar energies. On the bigger scale, the sun replicates that full moon energy with the summer solstice, and the new moon energy with the winter solstice. On a smaller scale, the daily cycle of sunrise and sunset. So when I share my lunar tidings, I'm truly speaking to the interaction of lunar and solar cycles, an overlay of three dancing revolutions. The smallest of these rotations, of course, starts with sunrise, and as the sun arcs its way across the sky from morning to noon into sunset, we see that same rising cycle give way, the rise, the height of the day, the afternoon release, and then before the sun sets for rest. Much like working with lunar energy over a 28 or 30 day cycle, sun magic gives us that same energy tides on a daily cycle, which means attraction work at sunrise, an afternoon of doing, and an evening of release can pack a really solid energy punch. Of course, the arc the sun takes across the sky is going to depend on the seasons, another way that the solar energies directly impact the amount and type of sun energy in play. Worth reminding that the Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere experience seasons in opposition of each other. So location for incorporating solar seasons is actually key, as you want to connect with the energies you are actually experiencing. When we talk about working with the seasons, we are actually talking about the solar seasons, which show up in two ways: celestial seasons and meteorological seasons. Celestial seasons are common in witchcraft, with the two solstices and equinoxes dividing the year into four seasons. Each season starting on the day that the Earth is either furthest or closest or in equal balance in its proximity to the sun. Meteorological seasons are truly based on weather and temperature, putting winter more December through February during the coldest time, and then summer, kind of early June through the end of August. These line up with more of how we experience temperature and weather in our times. I often observe the celestial seasons, which are marked by the equinoxes and the solstice, but adjust my altar and house decorations more in line with the meteorological seasons. What you do here is up to you. In the summer, the days are long, the energy from the sun is given the full arc of the sky as it takes residence right overhead. This is prime time to tap into the bounty of solar energy and the element of fire. As autumn sets in, the air element comes into play, softening that solar energy of summer into a waning energy, a release that sets in. As winter sets in, the sun takes a much shorter path through the skies, with much less time in the sky each day, hanging lower on the horizon, never quite reaching overhead. And in other cases, its arc is so low to the horizon, it feels as though it barely makes an appearance. Timing work to parallel these larger energies is like syncing with bigger energy tides that can carry your workings along. So, just like lunar energy, the sun has cycles, and we can let our workings ride that nuclear energy. So, just like lunar energy, the sun has cycles, and we can let our workings ride that nuclear energy charge.
Yeah, but speaking of like daily ways to incorporate that solar witchery, I've got a few favorite methods that I like to use to tap into those energies. As simple as it sounds, I consider opening the curtains an important part of my daily craft, and not just kind of thoughtlessly doing so as part of a morning routine, but really being mindful in how I'm greeting the sun and taking a few minutes once the curtains are open to just kind of bask, especially after a long winter like we've had here. Letting that light come in and warm the house just gives me such a boost. It's so good. I also try to take time to really note the start, like the cycle of the start and the end of each day, that rise and set. I love it when I can catch a sunrise and watch the world come to life and hear the birds rejoice and just see the flowers opening. And it's just tingles everywhere. And then that quieting time of sunset is just a lovely way to wind down the day. There's a park not far from where Jay and I live that has an amazing sunset view over some mountains, and we love to walk down there and just enjoy the coming stillness. I also use the sun as like a quick cleansing tool of sorts. It sounds a little odd, but this is something I came up with several years ago when I found I needed to just release something real quickly and get it out of the way. So if I need to like let go of something or I need to clear out some negative energy, I imagine it kind of balled up, and I imagine sort of sending it into the sun to kind of burn up in that nuclear core and be released and dispersed in a good way. If I'm just having like bad thoughts or whatever, it just kind of whew, goodbye.
Ooh, I love that. That's a good fire cleansing moment. And I know as we get into further wheel turns, we spend some time talking about fire cleansing. So if that's of interest to you, you know, stick around. And I love how you talk about, you know, really greeting the day with intention. You know, the sun plays some really practical roles in our lives. Getting that vitamin D is deeply important, and spending time just being present in the solar warmth and energy is a great way to connect. And as we layer on skills, last Haven we talked about spells, one attribute of spells is often time of day, sometimes based on planets or other celestial rotations. However, aligning with the daily cycles and yearly seasons lets you line up with your workings, and gives it some wind in the sails, so to speak. So for me, daily, it's often just about reinforcing, in small ways, my intents. So with my morning routine, I focus on what I want to attract for the day. In the peak of the day, reflecting and adjusting, taking action. And in the evening, spending time releasing before resting in bed. This may or may not tie into bigger spell work, but even for small things, like reminding myself while I brush my teeth that today I intend to approach things with curiosity. Then at lunch, check in with myself. Am I doing this thing? What's working? Where am I resisting? Then in the afternoon, adjust and see it through. Then in the evening, I do some journaling. What worked? Where was I able to approach with curiosity? Or even just taking 2 minutes to release through breath as I lay tucking into bed. I mean, ideally it's more. And in certain seasons, I might spend more time in each phase depending on length of day or the type of solar energy present. Weather can also play a big role in this. When weather is present, it's important to consider how the fire element, or the sun, now has other players at the table. Usually this shows up as either air or water elements, each interacting very differently with the solar fire energies. Air often depends on its temperature. Is it a cool breeze, meaning it's also carrying small water molecules? Or is it a warm breeze that fuels fires and adds buoyancy to the fire element? Fire and air energies often create a chaotic energy blend, one that can be hard to ride along with and even harder to control. I generally recommend waiting on that blend until much further along in a practice. When water comes into play, it's not only in direct opposition of the fire element, but together they create a very unique phenomena to add into workings. Think fog, rainbows, and sunny rain.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to just like generally cloudy weather, maybe you can't quite see the sun or it's really dark out, like, or right now I'm looking at the sky through a rain-painted window onto just endless gray, it can feel really difficult to connect directly to or strongly with that radiant solar energy. And as I said early on, the sun is always going to be there, so you can always try to find ways to connect to it, but especially on gray days like this, it feels hard. So if I'm needing that solar energy and I, for the weather, for the time of day, etc., I just can't connect to it physically in this plane, I go to my astral home. I tend to experience things pretty potently there, whether it's physical sensations, sounds, smells, etc., etc. So when I want to go there to connect to the sun's energy, it isn't too difficult for me. I meditate, get myself settled, go to my astral home, and I have a field nearby conveniently that I walk to and sit and sort of meditate within that meditation and literally just sort of soak in the rays of the sun in my astral home. I can feel the warmth on my skin and see the light behind my eyelids and more or less kind of experience sunshine in the way that I would on a sunny day. It's a great way to sort of charge up if you need that solar boost in whatever work you're about to do.
You know I love that tactic. And you know, when it comes to solar seasons, we spend a lot of time talking about cycles that impact Earth directly. But then there are the solar cycles the sun goes through as a star in a galaxy. Right now, our sun is in its prime, but there will be a day when it transitions, and in doing so, that burst of energy will collapse our solar system. From what we know, the sun moves through an 11-year electromagnetic cycle. During that time, its north and south magnetic poles switch places, and this causes peaks in solar energies, things like flares, as well as coronal mass ejections. We see this manifest in things like the aurora borealis, but also in disruption of radio waves and satellite interference. And much like the moon can cause chaos and heightened energy, solar flares tend to do the same, including feelings of overwhelm and anxiety. While many folks are focused on Mercury, I am often looking at the sun's activity. Currently, as of this podcast recording in 2024, we are actually nearing what many scientists and astronomers believe will be solar maximum in the next few years. This is a time when sunspots, solar flares, and CMEs are at high levels. Then, the activity will decrease as it enters its next solar cycle, only to peak again in 11 years. You can learn more about the solar cycle via the NASA website.
Solar or sun magic is a great way to incorporate that fire element into your practice. And if there's anything we hope you walk away with today, it's that, well, one, the sun, just like the moon, is on a cycle. That means its energy is always there to interact with and align with. Also, much like the moon, the sun cycles can be aligned with and incorporated into a work to help create a natural cadence, as well as tap into and charge up all of those great qualities of sunlight, things like vitamin D, photosynthesis, and much more.
Knowing that the sun sets its own earthly cadence with daylight and the seasons, but also houses its own internal solar cycles that emit increasing or decreasing amounts of solar activity. Know that the sun and moon are celestial bodies in orbit and constantly present. Let's not unnecessarily gender them or overlay false dichotomies. And lastly, weather impacts solar magic, but it doesn't prohibit it. Consider the other elements in play and their impact. And if you're interested in learning more about the sun in a science sense, I highly encourage roaming around the NASA website. And from a spiritual perspective, the sun has long held a prominent position in storytelling and mythos. Consider digging into tellings where it makes an appearance. And as always, use the Kars method to find the best source of origin material from that specific culture.
We look forward to coming together for our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, May 19th.
We also want to take a moment to promote some other witchy happenings outside of the Atomic Witchcraft Grove, like Dragonfest. Dragonfest is an outdoor neo-pagan spiritual retreat in Bailey, Colorado. Attendees camp together on the site, enjoying the majesty of Earth's beauty while attending Dragonfest member-created workshops, rituals, and gatherings. Visit the Merchant Circle for a variety of witchy-friendly goods, arts, and services. Learn more and register at www.dragonfest.org. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Dragonfest of Colorado.
As always, what makes Atomic Witchcraft thrive is all of you. So please join us again, engage us with your questions and thoughts anytime. You can stay connected by joining us on Patreon, Discord, or the Facebook listeners group. Until we gather in this grove again,
make your world witchy.